Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Jeff's rugby team will depart in 5 minutes from platform 15. Your ride comes with 6 toilets and a refreshments carriage that you'll empty within 5 minutes. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
Imagine growing up believing that you were the only child and then discovering that you had an entire family that you didn't even know existed. And that's exactly what happened to today's guests. Today, this conversation is one of the most emotional and fascinating stories that we've had on the show. My guests are James Hayden and Dawny Ray, who have discovered through ancestry that they were siblings after spending years living completely separate lives. What started as a DNA test turned into something much bigger: identity, healing, family trauma, connection, and finding people that they never knew they needed. Now, today we're talking about what that journey was really like emotionally, how it changed both of their lives forever. James, Dawny, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you both on the show.
Thank you.
And this is going to be a really exciting show.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Thank you.
Now, James, take me back to the moment where this all started. Like, what, you know, made you take the Ancestry.com test?
Yeah, I had been on another site, 23andMe, and wasn't finding anybody, and they were having some issues. And a friend said, you've been wondering about your background. And I'd walk down the street, I'd look at somebody who looks like me, and it could be a brother or a sister or a mom or a dad. And I didn't know. I knew on my birth mom's side who they were, but birth father was a mystery. I thought it was, you know, she had a suitor who was an Italian. We thought it could have been him. I ran the ancestry.com, and one of my daughters was very involved in it. And yeah, last May. And then Dawny was the first one of the half siblings I met on my birth father's side in July. And we've just been reconstructing our lives and meeting the other siblings in that. I met a lot of them are in Idaho. And so it's been, I mean, saying it's life-changing might be an understatement.
Yeah, for sure. Now, were you expecting to find anything when you took this test? Did you have any expectations?
Really? Because I hadn't found much on the other site. It was like, maybe something will come up and maybe it won't. The mind-blowing thing was Dawny lives in Seattle. The other relatives are, with the exception of one, live in Idaho. And our paths probably crossed. Dawny was involved as a wellness instructor, fitness instructor at a place called the Pro Club in just across from the Microsoft campus. I worked at Microsoft. I worked out there all the time. And Dawny owns a studio 3/4 of a mile from my house in Seattle on the main street. So we probably walked by each other. And incredible.
That is incredible. Like, what did you feel emotionally when you realized that you had siblings?
It's mixed, because you don't know what that's going to be like, or whether you'll be accepted or not accepted. As somebody who was adopted, I was, and the birth mom's family, they didn't know about me. So it was a very different reaction than with Dawny and the siblings on my birth father's side. There's, as an adopted person, one of the things you go through is you're always concerned that you're going to be pushed out or rejected. It's a very psychological thing. But so, yeah, I was concerned about the potential rejection. I was going into a whole new set of people I'm tied to or linked to biologically. So
it was like a mix of emotion.
Yeah. And I think Dawny thought I was a stalker when I first reached out to her.
So it was like feeling excited. It was like feeling overwhelmed, confusing, you know, scared. It was like everything, a little bit of everything, it seemed.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was very emotional. I couldn't wait to meet. And then we met, and we've pretty much been inseparable, even though I was out of the country for 2 months. We really kept in touch. So it's a real gift. When I was growing up in Alaska as a little kid, my dad moved to some different bases and stuff. He was a contractor for the military.
Yeah.
I thought, I know what it's like to have little guy friends, and we scuffle and do all that. I really want a little sister. So my mom asked me to pray, and maybe I'd get a little sister. And it just took a few years, right?
Like, did your whole identity shift in that moment when you found out?
Not in the moment, but over time it has. After meeting Donnie and the other half siblings.
Now, Donnie, was this experience the same for you? What was it like?
Well, I'll just say what it was like. So I think there's similarities for sure, but there's such a big difference in our different experiences in our story, just because of the nature of our father that now we found out that we share. And you'll get a kick out of this as we get into it, just because of the nature of this. And so anyway, when I started to hear from Jem, there was a lot going on in the background of my life. And then I had an association to, you know, like Facebook. I've had, you know, men reach out in one way or another. And it just ended up being like, you know, something I wasn't interested in, or, you know, some weirdo, if you will.
Yeah.
That platform, you know, for dating or what have you. And yeah. So I kind of scuffed it off, and I didn't even dig into a lot of what he was saying yet. And then all of a sudden I started to pay attention. And I think also, Jem, I think he began to give me some information about this man that might be his father. That's my father. And so, and then I got to a place where I could focus a little bit more. I was getting ready to lead my 4-day intensive retreat. I was kind of in a place to just get quiet. And I'll never forget this. And so it was last June, and I started to really read his information, and I'm like, oh, and I reached out to him and I wanted to hear more. And so I said, after my retreat, I would love to get together. And I even think before I went into my retreat, because it's off the grid, I said, we talked about meeting on Queen Anne in Seattle by the studio and in his neighborhood. Anyway, and so I knew that there was validity to this for sure, because he had so much information. And then I found out he did the ancestry DNA, and there's this information he had, there's no way that he could know. And I became really curious. And then knowing our dad, it was very possible that this was true. And so I knew that this was a true thing. And then also, from ancestry DNA, there's been other people that have contacted me. We have a sister named Kimberly that none of us got to meet.
Wow.
But I knew she had kids, and this is a big story. And our dad had gotten with another young woman when my mom was pregnant with me. And that birth was this young lady named Kimberly. Anyway, and so none of us got to ever know her or meet her. But Jim's just finding out about her now this year. Her son got a hold of me through Ancestry DNA, and he's in Idaho. And so I knew that, okay, this could be possible. And so we set a date, and it was 3 hours of talking. It could have gone on longer, and it really sealed the deal, you know?
Yeah.
And then I saw pictures. I started to stalk him, and I saw pictures that he put on Facebook that were his as a toddler.
Yeah.
And he just like, he's so... from our family. Like,
right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's just like, he looked like so many of the other boys in our family. Cause my dad has pretty strong traits like that, especially. Yeah. So off and on. And then now we've spent a lot of time together. And of course I've gotten to meet his wife, my sister-in-law, and some of the family.
Wow.
More to say, but I'll stop there.
What went through your mind when you found out about James? Cause that must've been a shocker for you also.
Well, I think I was more excited to meet him because it fell in line with the nature of my dad.
Yeah.
And I tell people he put the hoe in Idaho. No offense to any siblings that might hear, but it's, come on, you know, and yeah. It's like, there's a lot of us.
Right.
And I call us pods. And it's funny, but it's also really, really tragically sad, because there's some there are siblings that were together with him and their mom.
Yeah.
And some of us, it was just me. Out of all these 12,
right,
I don't have any that's full blood to me. And so there's pods of us. And unfortunately, we never learned how to be a family or be close, because we were so separate.
Yeah.
And he was pretty on the go. Yeah, there's so many levels and so many different seasons, and everybody has a different experience. And yeah, so there's many of us. And so as we know it, he's the first,
mm-hmm.
but maybe not.
As far as we know.
But my, our father is just gorgeous, just this gorgeous man and athletic and charismatic and so intelligent. And he got steered down some hard roads early on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but thankful for him because we're here. And so I just was so excited. And honestly, I've become more,
Okay.
Yeah. I just, there's so many of us, right? And I feel closer to Jim. Then, you know, I have a brother, we have a brother, Michael, who's my love. And, you know, but even in our relationship, it's just, you know, it's none of us ever really learned that. And, you know, he means the world to me and Jim's met him now. And anyway, so it's just like, oh my God, this is what it feels like to have a
family.
You know, and there's a lot for me to say about that because I'm not used to, well, my experience is, you know, there's always some hidden agenda.
Yeah.
When it comes to men in my life, there has been different now because I'm different now, but whether we're related or not. And so this is just this like, wow, this feels safe and awesome. And I, you know, like already it's not even been a year. Like I said, Stacey, and I feel safer in the world because of Jim. He's one of those people in my life like that.
He touched you so deeply in such a way that you were able to actually take the wall around your heart and let it down and become vulnerable because you trusted him. And that's a big step.
Yeah. And it's still going on, you know, and it's a new experience, you know, that I welcome. And that if I hadn't done the work that I've done this far in my life, I may not have even pursued this or wanted anything to do with it. It's been a little exhausting with my dad because there's just so many of us. And it was hard for me growing up in it because I always wanted to be that big sister. And just the flow of life, and that's hard to do for anyone. So for me, I feel a little bit of an outcast because of where my life has led. The majority's in Idaho. Close. And then all of a sudden now there's Jim.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. Yeah, there's hard pieces to it for both of us, I think, because it's overwhelming. You know, the story's overwhelming, not our meeting, but...
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, it's cool. And we're so alike, you know, like there's just so many things that we're alike in our personalities and our interests. And we're definitely both very extroverted and want to serve the world and people. Yeah.
I love that.
This is a wonderful opportunity because I think we were talking about this yesterday, that it's hard for people close to us to understand that every time we're together, no matter what the occasion is, it's going to be about us.
Yeah.
It's going to be about this and that, you know, and we've been trying to navigate how do we be in the midst of everybody and remember that we're there in the midst of everybody. And it's not just about him and I and this exploring that goes on. So I think having this opportunity, Jim, is amazing because now it's like, okay, we can just like talk and explore and say it. And, you know, but there's a learning curve for everyone to go, we're going to be doing this for a while. This is going to be going on. And everybody around us needs to just kind of like, fill up.
Yeah. You've been through so much. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah. We're reconstructing all those years where we didn't know about each other. And I mean, there are people, you know, I think are significant others and friends who've said, are you guys going to talk about some other things? It's like, no, not right now. We're not.
Right. You know, were you nervous, you know, at all, Donnie, when you first found out? Because, you know, with everything that you've been through in your life and then having your experience with other men, you know, were you nervous to find out that there was somebody out there that could be your sibling and, you know, now you have to actually meet them and connect with them?
Typically, Stacey, it's so interesting. I don't know. You feel in moments when I feel like my life's full. And I've got this special small tribe of really close, say, women in my life.
Right.
And I think, you know, like I don't see that there's room for others or whatever. And then I have a big sphere in my life of people, and I love people. Like that's where I get my energy. But
But
all of a sudden, then that one woman comes in and she moves up in the front line. Like boom, there's room.
Yeah.
But there's that, right? And that's what this feels like to me is. that feeling of like, oh, I don't want to take on another person, another sibling. You know what I mean? And this just felt like I'm so excited about it. It feels like I have lots of room. The adjustment more has been like, you know, for like people close to me, some people close to me that they've got to get used to that I'm going to make room for this. This is going to be a big deal, you know, and that troubles the waters a little bit because everybody's trying to shift and understand it and get that like, oh my God, I just found a brother. He found me, you know, and it's just so extravagant and
exuberant, yeah.
Right? And so I wasn't nervous. I was really excited. And I think the more I saw that this is really real, like he's for real. Cause there's that moment where that nudges you a little bit, like, is this real? You know, and it's real, you know, and that's why there's ancestry DNA. And that's why everyone should do it because it could bring in a lot of things you don't know about or, you know, and it's like another secret uncovered because there's so many. I know you're not supposed to swear, so I won't. I did that on another podcast and they like bleep me. But it's unbelievable the secrets that get uncovered as we age.
Yeah.
I don't know if you experience that, but when you're in a ocean of, yeah. of so much chaos and neglect and abuse. And I mean, I had 8 dads and there was a lot of women my dad was with.
Yeah.
So it's like there's just so much that gets uncovered. And so this is just another thing that, and it's, so it's not foreign to me. You question it for a second or two. I think that happened to some siblings. You know, it took our brother Michael for many reasons to get ready to feel in his heart that he wanted to open up this idea, you know, of Jim. And there's more to say about Michael because we got to talk about that, but they met and I knew it would just be this blessing, you know, and I can't wait for them to have more time. And I'll sit even with Michael now these days and there's stories that because of his experience with dad, when I wasn't there or around, he'll say things that I'm like, blow my mind. Stories just keep unfolding.
Yeah.
And so I feel really good about giving Jim the space to be in my life and to be my brother and everything will fall into place around that. Adjustments will happen around that. And this could stir some things up in other places just because everybody has their story. And if you're not, I really believe this is my life. Like if you dedicate to personal growth and you dive in, then these adjustments happen a lot easier.
Exactly. They really do. Now, did you feel an instant bond when you met Jim?
Yeah. Yeah. Hence our 3-hour, you know, get together and it could have gone longer. I think you had to go catch a flight.
I did. I did. It was.
I love it.
It was just, it was fluid. When you meet people, it's not always that way or it can be awkward. It just felt very natural.
Yeah.
And easy.
I love it.
What's really cool, Stacey, is that right away, he and Signe, his wife, they just started coming to my classes. You know, his background, a lot of yoga and his background, and both of them are very active and very athletic and ready, committed to that. But they just started diving into my life. They came to my classes, started promoting what I'm doing, came to last October's one day. I mean, he'd been in my life a bit of July, August, September, October. He's in a one day retreat with me and his wife that, you know, I'm just like, just soaking in who I am in the world. And like on the bio on my website, feedback and the things that he's done there to, you know, to just make some, you know, additions. Anyway, I just feel him, you know, whole edifying me and seeing me and
yeah.
And then he left for 2 months.
I did.
I love it.
Catching me. We've just been in touch this entire time.
We have. Thanks.
You could be away from somebody and you could, doesn't matter how long. And then you see the person and it's like, it was just yesterday.
Yeah.
It was like it. We saw each other yesterday after 2 months and it was just right there. But Donnie has become a real hero. She's somebody I look up to that's done heroic things in her life, who I admire big time. She's an amazing person.
Thank you.
Now, if you're listening and this story is resonating with you, make sure you follow this podcast because these are the conversations that remind us how deeply human connection can change our lives. Now, you both discovered that there was a much bigger family story underneath all of this. You know, what did you learn about your biological father?
Wow. Where did
Jim, you want to go?
Where do we begin? And I'll just say I celebrate his story. He was not raised by his birth father. He found out that his birth father was another person in the town he grew up in.
Okay.
He served in the Korean War in the military. Came to the Seattle area, which is where he met my birth mom. Went back to Idaho. He was played professional baseball in the Pittsburgh Pirates organization, and had three sons with his first wife. I won't go into all the details, but anyway, professional baseball player. From what I hear, an amazing high school sports coach, turned around a bunch of programs, taught sciences in high school, became a professor at one of the universities in Idaho, became a halibut fishing boat captain. And were there five birth moms he connected with? Something like that.
Wow.
And
That we know of.
Yeah. So.
Well, that actually had a relationship with for a while.
Yeah.
Married.
Yeah. So amazing person on the one hand, and he passed away in 2014. So I did not get to know him. I only know the stories. Donnie grew up with him, and yeah, and Yeah.
I mean, I knew him, but I did not grow up with him.
Right.
Yeah. That's true.
So what exactly were your parents separated, or were they were separated?
So he married my mom when she was almost 19 or so. She'd already had a first husband and had my sister, who we count her in the 12 because dad gave her his name as well. And he just treated her as his own, even though he wasn't around. But in the time that he was, when he met my mom, there was Carrie and she was a baby. Anyway, so they were young. They were kids having kids, and it was the 60s. And so dad early on was addicted to speed as an and a hard story, and felt illegitimate down deep, because that's a big curse that runs through our family, you know. So, and anyway, there's so much to say. He was very, very close to his mother, you know, and then there was a stepdad that was really, really brutally abusive to our dad. Anyway, so there's so much to say, so I don't want to go down rabbit holes, but they were together until I was probably about 3-ish. And there was a lot of really rough, like I have some memories that were really rough with them. And my mom went through a depression and almost tried to kill herself. And it was all because of love and unfaithfulness and so forth. Our dad, you know, just I don't know if you say struggled, but that was part of his life, was not being able to be faithful. In it all, you know, he was a bright light and he loved kids. So he was in and out of my life while I was in Idaho until I was 6. I was taken out of Idaho because my mom went with another man. And so then it became really hard for me to see my dad, and he didn't travel up to see me very much, but I would get back to Idaho as I got a little older.
Right.
Okay. Then he disappeared fully. I mean, so he was in and out, in and out, in and out. You never knew when you were going to see him or if he was going to show up. So there's just this yearning, because I literally felt like he hung the moon, because that was his energy. He just was like, you just feel like you're with a superstar celebrity when you're with him.
Yeah.
And he was the best hunter, the best fisherman, great athlete. Like, he would take teams that were losers and build them into champions. And he was just amazing. And so Jim and I both, and more of our siblings, got his charisma. And our brother Mike walks like him, talks like him. He's so charismatic.
Wow.
And he's had the same wife forever and ever. And, you know, so anyway, when I was 9, he dropped me off. He had taken me and my sister to Disneyland, and it was a trip. And anyway, he left my life. For a decade, he disappeared.
Wow.
And it literally was the devastating. And I was, at that time, my mom was married to this abusive, awful, schizophrenic man. And so it was just, it was, that's where I learned, and I learned to disassociate. And then from there, more things happened for me, but I was dadless, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so, yeah, so I grew up knowing him, but yearned for him the entire time.
Wow. How did that affect you emotionally?
It just messed me up. I mean, just like, it was awful. Although I disassociated, so I learned how to split and just be in this place of living my life and dealing with an abusive stepdad.
Yeah.
Which my mom, we finally had to run and hide to get away from.
Right.
So, and then there became abusive, sexually abusive men in my life, because that's dadless that they look for. And anyway, there's so much to say about that, but he was nowhere. But I yearned to just like make him proud, show him that I was an athlete. So as all this was going on in my life, and it was neglect and abuse and sexual abuse, there I was just going to be the best athlete. I was going to be a cheerleader, you know, and I had this facade about my life that I'm happy.
Yeah.
But in the background, there was so much going on. The overall umbrella is that the seed was planted in me early on from a grandma, and that was the Lord. And it was like, I knew that there was a higher power in the midst of all this awful stuff.
Yeah.
I never let go of that. And it never let go of me. And so literally, that's what got me through it, that there was a call on my life that somehow I held on to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I got to have conversations with my dad as I grew and was brave to ask him questions and so forth. So that happened, and it was super lame.
Yeah.
But, you know, just part of who he was, and right. no matter what, I mean, all of us, every single one, even if you have a rough story, you loved being with him.
Right.
And I think a couple of our brothers, different story that he was different story with them, you know, in regards to how they felt about dad. But
yeah.
Anyway, I still, to this day, I just got back from a 4-day deep dive solo retreat therapeutically with a woman I've worked with for a couple decades. And we just worked 4 days in a row, and it's still, I'm still going in and doing work and integrating and working on, you know, you're like, aren't I over this? Like, haven't I come to terms? And it's just, there's layers. It's just so important.
Definitely. Definitely. Now, Jim, like, how did it make you feel hearing those stories? How did it affect you emotionally?
Yeah. I mean, I felt for Donnie, but also seeing where she is right now, that's a part of the hero story that I saw, is that she had gone through that trauma in, you know, essentially fatherless for 10 years and other issues that happened. It's what I've really discovered, and I'm doing a lot of research and talking about it, is those people who've been through trauma and have been through issues and make it through have amazing stories. And Donnie has this group of friends that are so loyal to her, and she's created that network herself that are, I would say they're like family.
Right.
And so hearing about it was hard to hear.
Yeah.
On the other hand, seeing how she'd come through was, that's where I see the heroic side of the Donnie, what she pulled through. And I really, really admire that. It's shaped my thinking, shaped my voice. My voice has changed since we've met. So yeah, that's where I come down on it. I mean, and I'm willing to listen to Donnie. She's really done a lot of the work on her own. One of the things we talked about when I was traveling is the work she's done on her inner child. And I think we're, one of the places we've connected is we can be a little childish too, but kidding. But both of our inner children there's some wounds, and I think we're connecting. And I think that's part of the reconstruction, and what we're talking about is healing our wounds that we went through when we were younger, that child, and really celebrating that, embracing our
inner. When you heard these stories from Donnie, did it answer questions or did it create more questions for you?
More questions. Yeah, a lot more.
So Donnie, so you mentioned difficult experiences growing up. How did those experiences shape you into the woman you are today?
Well, I'm just such a believer of people being the best they can be.
Yeah.
And doing it through true vulnerable connection to the hard places inside. Most people will jump out of an airplane. They'll go climb the highest mountain. They'll do these, right? But a majority of folks do not deep dive into their soul, their story, the hard places, the truths. Because it's genuinely so scary, so hard. And sometimes when I'm doing the work, and I've learned is that I might not get a movie of a memory, but I'll get a feeling, I'll get a smell, I'll get a place. And I trust that. And because the person I work with is so good at what she does, that there's a way to get into the roots of things without all the information.
Yeah.
That and go with that. And it's just this re-experiencing self-forgiveness of forgiving others, you know, it's so deep. And so I've worked a long time to get to a place to physically experience the integration between the parts of me that split.
Right.
And that's what I just came from. That's what I just came from. And I worked a long time to get there. So I believe very much in inner child and keeping that alive.
Yeah.
And yes, the playful, you know, where people, you know, forget how to do that or they don't realize that part of us is such a huge, big part of us. But more so, those residuals come that are wonderful and positive and bright and it frees us so much. And that's by really looking at the hard parts of the story, really going back what I say and going and saving that inner child, embracing that. And then it has to happen from both sides. That
yes.
Manager, that adult in our lives right now, who we are, where we have that time to read. So a lot I could say, I feel this sense, honestly, and this happened in the last decade of my life, somewhere around 8 to 10 years ago, I think. You know, there's been different moments where I'll have different experiences. This one was huge because for me, I can forgive and it's real. And I know I'm called to do that, but there's a lot of work around, right? We don't want that unforgiveness in us. And, but there's a moment where there's a letting go, there's a freedom. And when it happened for me, when I was ready is I was on this little solo moment and I kept remembering that people were telling me, you got to watch Tony Robbins on Netflix. I'm not your guru. And I just, you know, one night I just got cuddled up and got on my laptop and I'm like, and I loved him. I grew up loving him so much. And what's so cool is that there's such a parallel for he and I in what we're doing in the world. And I don't compare myself at all to him, but I get him. I just get it. And it's my language. And anyway, and so I watched that and it was unbelievable for me because it's exactly the type of work that I'm doing with this therapist. It's the innate, what I call generative language that I've been given intuitively to work that growth in my own life, but also with others.
Yeah.
And it was this moment. And it was when he was telling his story for the first time.
Right.
And it was in this program, I'm Not Your Guru. And so maybe you've seen it or watch it. It's great. But anyway, it's the nature of the importance to be at a point in life where it's in addition to forgiveness, it's a gratitude for what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really hard concept.
Yes.
And yet I had this moment where like, I could just list the whatever it was, the trauma, the perpetrator, whatever that is. Mom, dad, blah, 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 like all the things. And I literally was at a point where like, I am so grateful. Like the gratitude was visceral in my body because it literally built what I'm doing in my life. And it gave me a heart and it gave me wisdom and discernment.
Yeah.
And the commitment to keep working because I'm definitely not at all there. I'll be working to get there until I'm gone. And
yeah,
you know, but I'm in a place where who I am and how I behave, I'm going to research that with myself. I'm going to see where that's coming from when it's less than positive.
Mm-hmm.
So it literally gave me all of that, all of this story that a lot of things that are really hard to hear. I'm grateful because now they're scars. They're not wounds.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really important as people in the world, when we're standing in front of folks and we're wanting them to be their best, that if I'm sharing something, that I don't feel an emotional attachment to what I'm about to say, because
yeah,
now it's gratitude.
Right.
It's crazy gratitude. I mean, that concept is so like, I forgive you because I'm called to.
Yes.
One, that's got to become genuine, but I forgive myself.
Yeah.
You know, I forgive myself for not protecting myself. I forgive, like, those notions are like eye opening.
Right.
But then to land in an ocean of gratitude, that's freedom. It's freedom. And now God can do what is meant for me in that calling.
Right.
Thank you for listening to that.
It's my pleasure.
I
is this what healing look like for you?
Me?
Yeah.
Constant. Absolutely. The goosebumps. Yeah. And this last solo for me that I call my deep dive, it was more than I could ever imagine, because I literally, like a movie, was able to come together with parts of me, with that inner child, along with God. And just, it's so real. And I wrote about it. I sent it, poetically wrote about it and sent it to Jim. You know, it's, I wrote the whole time through this, which I'll continue to do. And I'm continuing to do that work too, you know, but it was a moment that I've worked towards, and no kidding, for almost 20 years, this therapist, this woman in my life, this is where we worked to get to. And every moment's been meaningful and important, but there was time.
Right.
And Jim,
go ahead.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. Finish.
Well, I might've said this already, but I just really believe that we can only take people as far as we've gone ourselves.
Yeah.
So it's so important for teachers to be students, and in everything. Like if I'm going to stand in front of you and encourage you to be your best and dive in, I got to do that.
Yeah.
Myself. And so I believe that something is coming for me to maybe grab the baton that this woman that I work with for so long, that because this work is the deepest freedom one could ever have. And most people will never do this. And you'll never hear me talk like less than positive. But oh, truly, this is scary. It's almost like walking into a room and it's just dark and you don't know where to go and you don't know, but you just have to trust and ask and for you know, the moments that are meant for us to have, that are deeply rooted in hiding.
Yeah.
Literally, this inner child of mine was in this dark fortress behind this rock. I mean, the pictures, all of it was just like what I've written about, what I've dreamt about. And I went and was able to come together, and it was real. And it's like, literally, I will never be the same, but I will stand in front of whoever it might be. And you can't fake this stuff.
No.
Just can't. But it will now open up so much more opportunity for me in my life, in my love relationships, you know, just as, you know, a mom, as a partner, as a friend, as a daughter, you know, all the things, right?
And now, Jim, you were going to add to that. What were you going to say?
Earlier, what you'd asked me about was my reaction to Donnie, and took me a little bit. And Donnie, I don't think I've mentioned this to you before, but when I heard the story, I felt very protective. Donnie, there were like some people I wanted to go out and take care of them because of what they've done. And I mean, as you listen to Donnie's story too, it's, she's taken care of that. But that was my immediate reaction, because I'm a fairly competitive person. And I feel really protective of my sister. And that's just, it's something that came on very, very fast. And I'd mentioned to her boyfriend, who I have a very high opinion of. I said, you know, I really enjoy you and our time together. Just be good to Donnie. So that's really important to me. I like that role. Donnie, I hope I'm not overstepping, but that's the way I feel.
Now, Donnie, actually, no, Jim, you know, did learning about your siblings change how you viewed your own life in your own childhood?
Heck yes, it did. Yeah. I mean, I was an only child and I was adopted. And my mom that raised me told me that they found me under a cabbage leaf. Yeah. I mean, you know, she was lightening it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I didn't have any sibling interaction, and there's, you know, all of that is really new ground for me.
Yeah.
And there were just some things I didn't know about dealing with people my own age. My parents were 40 and 45 when they adopted me. And so I was kind of accustomed to working with older people, which was interesting. But it also, there have been some insecurities I've had in my life, and it manifested itself in workaholism. And I'd always outwork other people because I had something to prove to the world. Now, is that a bad thing? I mean, you can say whatever you will about it, but I know it impacted my family certainly at times. And it just, I've had an opportunity to step back from it and go, okay, this is why I did what I did here. Right. I left one company that I was involved in a turnaround on about a year before they sold the company. And I owned a pretty good chunk of the company that I let go because I didn't think the company would make it. It just, there was this instinct about like, I'm going to be abandoned or deserted. And that has gone away. And so my voice now, I mean, one of the things that's very liberating to me is I feel I've got a story to tell. Donnie's got a story to tell to the world. We've got things that can support and assist other people in their growth. And I'm very driven about that. And a lot of the work I'm doing in business is advisory work. And my voice is clear. I've been adapted what I've said in the past to, because I knew it would please somebody and get me to, you know, opportunity to work with that company or do something. Not anymore.
Right.
That changed so quickly after we'd all met. puzzle piece came together in my life, and the trauma and the searching I had been seeking my whole life was gone.
Amazing. What surprised you the most about your connection as siblings?
Is that for both of us?
Well, for you right now.
Yeah, that there was somebody who thought kind of the same way I did, and we didn't grow up together, right? I mean, we had different backgrounds growing up.
Mm-hmm.
It moved around, but you know, I had one mom and dad that raised me, and yeah, it was a different upbringing. Yet we've come together, and we share, I think, a lot of the same opinion, some of the same energy, which I think it scares the hell out of my wife, that female equivalent. But like some of Donnie's closest friends have said, you sure can't tell you two are brother and sister, you know, that you react to things and do things the same way. So it's just damn cool to find somebody, you know, it's like, yeah, this is my sister. And yeah, there's not any blank spaces or any, when we get together, it's just, we talk and we talk deep.
Right.
Or deeply.
So did it feel like a natural immediately then?
It did to me. Yeah.
What about you, Donnie?
Yeah, it did to me too. Well, I remember, I can't remember if we talked or if we were texting, but there was something. Was it, do we talk before I met you? Did we voice talk? Oh, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think so much of the fact that he's, you know, established and, you know, long marriage and children, and he's dad of these two beautiful adult girls. It was just so, it just was, had depth and meaning and just so established, right? And lived in the neighborhood where, the yoga studio that I'm involved in. And so it just felt like structure.
Yeah.
And there's a foundation to it, and which is really important to me, and really is something that I haven't along the way felt a lot of, especially in regards to family. So
it was like a serendipity, but it was just like, you know, the God or the universe of timing is, it came along later, but it's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he just felt so familiar in a way. And I think a big part of it too, Stacey, is that how interested he was in my life.
Yeah.
Just how interested and how, I think it's really awesome too that he's so active. They're both very healthy.
Yeah.
And mine's, there's always so much to talk about that really isn't just about Jim and I meeting and so much exploring to do, but it's just that they're exciting people and happy and all the things going on with family. And so, yeah. And that piece of just the true, genuine interest in me and who I am, and not just interested, but like taking time investing in me.
Yeah.
So just don't, well, and investing in themselves.
Were you shocked at that you had so many similarities?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And it felt amazing because it's like we truly, and I feel that way with my brother, Michael, to our brother, Michael, too. And that there's just so much personality, so much fun and bantering and yeah. And that our responses to other people and our interest in other people is really similar. So I think that's why people are like, you guys are so alike, you know, but it feels that way.
Yeah.
I mean, our activities in high school. Yeah.
What?
Really?
Yeah, like our activities in high school are similar.
Oh, yeah.
We're both super open. You've been involved in your high school reunion, and I'm involved in mine. And just, yeah, I mean, we're, yeah, similar
That's
people.
Amazing.
I think that I think this is such a great opportunity because to celebrate this part,
yeah,
there's also a real importance and a reality to, you know, the contrast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in terms of like specifics in story,
yeah,
the similarity of yearning and the similarity of not feeling quite complete with this, you know, life or what have you, and the what's missing.
Right.
And so that for me is, it looks a little different than it is specifically for Jim, but yet how this is bringing so much, you know, clarity and also more identity, right? Like,
right.
I can only imagine, especially for Jim in this case, that his identity, you know, to just like identity is so important. And so now to get the pieces and the information and actually sit in front of real life people that we share the same father with such a huge story, you know, and
Yeah. What has this relationship like brought into your lives?
Well, I can say a sense of being seen for sure. But definitely love and caring. And I think, you know, especially because, well, this is just one thing, I guess, but is like his wife, my sister-in-law now, which still is like, it's just so weird to say, but
yeah,
true. Just her true celebrating nature of what's going on for Jim and I,
right?
You know, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful in the way that she's responding, and it can't be easy all the time, I'm sure, because it's a huge, big new piece,
right?
But just that there's just so much love and respect and excitement from everyone, and from like my partner and my daughter, who now is Uncle Jim, and I. It's so fabulous because she loves them so much, and they love her. And it's so exciting because she's such an amazing human being. And so, you know, and she's like me times a bazillion. So it's brought, there's just so much that my life feels more full.
Yeah.
And, I'm excited to see. I mean, we are not even at a year of when we met.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
But it's just
for, you know,
yeah.
What do you think?
A big celebration Donnie was having. A milestone birthday, I think 39, and said, you know, it should be nice because she has a practice that's tied into what her boyfriend does. And so they were in Maui at this, you know, celebration reunion of this community. And she said, it would be so cool if you could just come over for my birthday. And I think kind of dismissed it. And I popped over. I just felt really compelled. It's like, I've got to do it. And
Well, it was a surprise between my partner and he, and we're out on a golf course in Maui and I look over and there's this cart going down the course, and I see this, and it's hot. It's really hot. And there's this cart going by the one person with a towel over their head. And I'm like, how are they even seeing, you know? And then we all get back to where our carts are. And that car, I didn't know, but was on the other side anyway, ended up, he surprised me on the golf course. But
yeah,
what a huge gesture. And he came over for like a day.
Right.
You know, and that was really special.
So awesome. We had so much fun.
That's amazing. You know, this story is so much more, you know, it's so much more than DNA. What do you think people are really searching for emotionally today? And I'll start with you,
What do I think people are searching for the most emotionally today?
Yeah, because this story is just, it's so much more than just DNA. You know, it goes deeper than that. You know, what do you think people are really searching for emotionally today? You went on Ancestry.com, you know, you found your siblings as well. What do you think, you know, when people are going through similar situations, you know, what do you think they're really searching for on the emotional aspect?
I'll just riff. Well, definitely a deep sense of belonging and being seen just ties into identity, right? And I think that there's so many factors that get in the way, or people don't understand that they have options to dig into that and to define that.
Yeah.
You know, identity is just so huge so that we feel like that we matter.
Yeah.
And then that spills into work relationships, love relationships, family relationships. And it's just this, like, can we all be willing and just do whatever it takes, feel the fear and do it anyway?
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to jump off the edge and grow the wings on the way down.
Right.
I mean, we can do it so that we just get, you know, more in touch with that authentic person who we are, and that we're worthy of love. And so it's all of those things that people are like, you know, but truly, if you set all that aside and everyone's vulnerable, then that's truly what people are yearning for emotionally. That comes from that deep, deep inner child part of us.
Yeah.
That part rules our future. It rules.
Exactly.
It's where we live from in some way or another.
Yeah. That's so true. That's so true. What do you think, Jim? You know, what are people really searching for emotionally today? Because I know for a fact, lately, one of my family members was adopted, and as soon as her mother passed away and her father had been passed away, she went out and she started searching for her biological mother. It was that, you know, right away. She didn't even waste any time. So, what do you think people really are searching for emotionally?
We want to know who we are. What that discovery for me was, it was, if you look at life like a puzzle, put in a big puzzle piece that I understood. People are looking for connection, and they're looking for love. I work a lot in tech, and I do a lot in AI, and I've been involved in working with organizations on how they adopt AI and that kind of thing. And Don works with a lot of technology companies and some of the top executives in the country. And we do lose our humanness and our connection if you aren't careful with that. The one thing about AI that it's done is we need touch, and we need wellness, and we need healing. It's that balance. There was a philosopher that said, to love and be loved is to feel a sun from both sides. That's, I mean, it's really, really deep. I mean, more than anything, I feel more love than I ever have before. And I feel like I'm able to love more than I ever have before, because I understand it's removed some of those filters or some of the things that held me back.
Right.
There's something that happened to me on this solo that I did in my retreat, Stacey, and I think you might know this, Jim, I'm not sure, but at my 4-day intensives, a lot has gone into how this is structured and how people come and what they experience. And so all the different places I've been and all the personal development growth, the things over the years I love, I've grabbed, and I'm like, I'm going to do this one day. I'm going to be up in front of, I'm going to be, you know, and I became to have a dream to have retreat. Anyways,
right.
We're going on like our 17th one, and started.
That's awesome.
27. Well, anyway, the 4-day intensive, a lot of all those things I put into it, and then built this content for people to have so much fun, super deep dive, work and play. Like, it's amazing. But one of the things that people have to do when they come is you have to think of a nickname.
Right.
A nickname that no one knows your real name until in the end. You don't know what time it is. Car is hidden. It's a electronic sabbatical. And we figured out a way where you don't ever know what time it is. So we figured out, how do we wake up? And, you know, and there's a whole thing we do there. But anyway, you figure out a name that feels good to say, to hear. Maybe it's something you want to manifest or what have you. But anyway, for all these years, my nickname has always been Shanti. And in Sanskrit, that means peace. That's something that I want more of. And I want to have balance of the way I respond, the way I am in the world, that I'm this peaceful warrior. When I went on this retreat, one of the results of it, as I was driving back, it's about a 5-hour drive. And I'm like, I was listening to a podcast and it was on identity. And she was talking about how God literally changed the names of a lot of the people in the Bible. And she was just praying about, God, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And so I just am like, oh, that was for me. That was so for me. And so what came of that, and this is so great to your question, what are people really, really yearning for emotionally? And I believe, like, in everything that I shared, this is for me what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And so I started to think and resonate, pray about, okay, God, who do you say I am? Like, in this time I'm in right now, what am I seeking?
Right.
What it feels. So the bottom line is what I got is a Greek, and it's sojo, S-O-J-O in the Bible, but sojo. And so what that means is to be whole, wholeness. Mm-hmm. And so I think that what it all comes down to is that there's so many elements of what I'm responsible to feel whole.
Yeah.
What I desire from my people or whatever that might be, but so much of it comes from in here, and we seek it forever. Right. But now, so Jim, you didn't know this, but now my name for the retreats is going to now be Sojo.
Okay. And
because we come to different seasons, right? And that's where I land. But I really think that that's it. I think that whether we're aware of it or not, we're seeking forever that sense of being whole.
Yeah.
And then we go, okay, so where do I need to go? Where do I need to seek? What do I need to do? How deep do I need to dive? And who do I need to talk to?
Right.
Obviously, what do I need to let go of? Like, all that.
So, Jim, why do connection and belonging matter so much in your own opinion?
In a way, what else is there, right? One of the things we saw during the COVID time was such an increase in mental health issues because people didn't have an office to go to. They didn't have that connection. As humans, we're really wired to be, we're social beings. We're social animals. That's the way we were created.
Yeah.
Connection and belonging is a big deal. You know, I mean, I didn't have that sense of belonging, you know, raised without brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Older parents. I had a grandmother on my mom's side that raised me that said I wasn't good enough. I had a couple of teachers telling me that. Gave me a hell of a lot of fire, but I didn't have anybody who I connected with unconditionally. Yeah. Side of my wife and occasionally my daughters would feel that way. But it's really a different game. And I believe Donnie went through some of the same thing in terms of connection and people we connect with and resonate. We don't always have to agree, but we have somebody who has our back. And we know that they have our back and would do what it takes to support us. We'll need that. Right. How many people say that about it in life? I think we've got people for a reason, season, or a lifetime.
Oh, yeah. So, Jim, you mentioned writing a book. Why do you feel this story is needed to be told?
Man, it's everybody I've spoken to about the story. What I found is like being vulnerable and open to that. What it's done is people I've known 30, 40 years, I'm hearing stories about things that have happened in their family life that they hadn't told me about until I stepped forward with that. And I'm not talking about trauma bombing people. What I'm talking about is being vulnerable creates an openness in relationships that just didn't exist before. If the story Donnie has and I have assist people in their growth and they're going through a tough time, need support.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in their careers, they're facing things when if they just get to that next rung in the ladder and don't give up, that they'll be successful. Yeah. They'll create a new being that they didn't have before. But sometimes it just seems like it'll never happen. It'll never end. And I think giving people that hope, like Donnie's story, the story I've been through, it sounds selfish on my part, but I get a lot out of it when I've assisted somebody with no expectations about what comes back. And it always comes back for more. I really consider myself in the world as, and the companies I work with as what I call a mentor. I'm a mentor to those organizations, but there's so much new information coming out that I have to have a beginner's mindset or be open to learn new things. So yeah,
right.
Connection is everything.
I love that. Now, what do you hope people take away from this story?
Well, I hope more people just on a practical level do their ancestry. I hope that it's so worth it. It's the best $100 I've ever spent, like in terms of this kind of thing. Look at this. I mean, like, I think Jim would have still found me because I think he was on the road, but that made it, like, that really made it.
Accelerated.
Yeah. Yeah. And to see, like, and then to, like, when you were talking, Jim, I was thinking about when I looked at your picture as this little guy, you know, and seeing his adopted dad holding him up and how much he looked like one of us.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. And so it's exciting. And I think the older we get, for me anyway, again, it brings in more of me. It brings in, right? And so it fills in some of the blanks. I can only imagine how this is for Jim, you know, because to be one human thinking there's no one else, you know, and then all of a sudden he's got 11 siblings. Can you imagine? Could you imagine? And then there's so much to it. So many. That's why I hope we get into this, because there's just, like, we could talk about each one of us and say what we know or whatever, but to hear my story from, it's big, it's amazing, but there's other people. I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
You know, and it's given me such a heart for women and men that are being abused or taken advantage of or all of that. And yeah, so I want people to, from this, I want them to want more for themselves, to do some of their own personal development, you know, look at that and know that, you know, there's a reason why there's a message in the mess. Testimony in the test. And so, and being willing to open those doors inside ourselves to ask questions, to interview each other. If our family, our siblings could sit around and all listen to each other's stories, it would connect us all so deeply. No one really knows me. Jim knows me more than any of them. And I don't hold that against anybody. It's not happened.
Yeah.
You know, as I you know, could know more about them. It's, you know.
Yeah, I would say their thing is most people are hiding in their lives, or they have secrets. And that vulnerability, you know, a lot of people look at vulnerability as being a weakness. It's the strongest, powerful thing you can do in terms of connection with people, being vulnerable. Yeah. Like I said, the story's brought up so much with other people, hence creating a much greater connection with people. I've talked to other people who were adopted, and it's like, I don't know, I don't care. You know, they gave me up, blah, 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 all that. Why go through life and have secrets or hide things? I think go after all of it.
Yeah.
Live life the most you can, and you'll have a greater understanding of yourself. And it's, you know, it's not bad. It's not ugly. I really celebrate it. And I celebrate this family, and every family has imperfections. And I think we should celebrate that stuff. We should celebrate the fact that we are not perfect beings, and we can still love and care for people, even though they're imperfect. Maybe they don't always do things the way we want them to, but it doesn't really matter.
Right. Now, if there was one message you want people to walk away with after hearing this story, what would it be? We'll start with you, Donnie.
Well, it's very much along the lines of what Jim just said. That if it was me hearing this, you know, what I would get out of this is just to consider your story. Consider, you know, for me, when I'm doing this work, it's like, it's so important to really look at the truth of the story. And the, you know, everyone's got some things that were rough and hard and that could take us next level in our experience and in our lives in the world. But just being what I, you know, this is what I say, that be willing to look backward, dive inward, move forward, and go upward and outward. And this is the cycle, this continual cycle. And so I hope people get the message that there's so much value in the time, the hard work, the feeling of, you know, there's so much blessing in being vulnerable, to look in and work it out.
Right.
And I hope that people get that message to seek their full authenticity and who they are and their identity.
Yeah.
It isn't easy, but it's exciting. It's all the things. There's just so much to it. It's just a bucket of emotions.
Yeah.
I mean, we're meant to live all of that. We're meant to feel it and live it and celebrate it and cry it out and grieve it out and pull the layers off, right? So I hope they get a message of just wondering about how whatever's standing out to them in this, their story, their past, how their relationship is with their inner child, their family, their loved ones, like all of that has definition and meaning.
Right.
To have more and live in a higher place for sure. And the thing is, it's not whamsy-pamsy. It's not like woo-woo. This is real stuff. Like, it's real. It's like frontline in the war, going in the battle to just have more, you know, that's the message, I hope.
And what about you, Jim?
Everybody has trauma that you face in your life. And the people I know that have the most strength, that have the most stories, most of them have had the most trauma and they've dealt with it. And they've found a way through. And it felt and it looked hopeless at times when they were going through that journey. I felt it. I had my own journey, my own story. And I would say the same for Donnie. Donnie has some of the richest, I think, most meaningful stories because of the journey we have had to go through. And we were on this, and there's still more to learn. But like a lot of people I know who I'm not picking on people with trust funds, but a lot of the people who've had like trust funds and easy kind of lose their way. They lose that passion. I'm not saying everybody, but some of the people we're created to work through that struggle. And that's really the refining or defining moments in your life is going through that and finding the way out and being vulnerable and loving to other people. Don't be a jerk.
100%. Now you mentioned that this whole experience has even changed you in your job, your work, your company. What type of impact has it made in your work life?
It's an overused term, but I should say boundaries. And they're things I'm unwilling to bend on now. And that doesn't mean being inflexible. It's just knowing myself more. And what I'm finding is in my career, one of the things I believe that made me successful is being a chameleon, learning how to adapt to different situations and saying what people were looking for.
Yeah.
I know who I am. I know what my voice is. And the interesting part is I have more clients, potential clients reaching out to me than I've ever had before. Because I'm plain spoken and there are just organizations, if it doesn't look like they're open to the work I do or the change, like I don't think it's going to be a fit and I'll walk away, even though the remuneration in that is good.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm looking in people for how I can add to what they've been through in their lives. And like I said, since I have the story about our family, it's opened up more than 10 people I've known for some time. You know, I talked about the story. I started hearing their stories that they just weren't open to share until I went first.
Wow. Wow. What about you, Donnie? How has it changed you at work? And, you know, has it made any significant change in your?
Well, I just think it's added more, you know, it's just added more information for one thing. I really believe in exploring our old story, that place in us, and then creating a new story, right? So now this is part of my new story, living in a healthier place all the way around. I think that, it adds to my destiny of wholeness for sure. It on a awesome practical level too. I mean, like I said, Jim Sig, his wife, you know, they really celebrate who I am. They're very edifying and promoting. And, you know, Jim's ready to take, he's like wanting to, like, I don't know, you're like my agent, you know? And so that, And that just feels so good. So that's been, and so, yeah, I mean, it's my happiness gauge has gone up, you know, I think a lot because of Jim in my life. And I'm just so grateful. I'm grateful for that. So, yeah, I think my daughter, who's my know, my soul. She's so happy to have more family, and it means so much to her. So to just watch their relationship, and he jumped right into contributing on so many levels. So it's palatable. It's notable. Like he's in our lives, and it's definitely
really feels good. It does. It's amazing.
I love that. Can you tell everybody a little about what you do and where people can actually find you?
Yeah. So my full name is Dawni, DawniRae, Dawni Ray Shaw, SHAW. And it's DawniRae.com. And I am on Facebook and Instagram. I'm one of those dinosaurs that loves real phone calls. And so my phone number's everywhere. And I'm public on the social media. My website is a great place. I have an upcoming retreat that this one is women only. And it's 4 days. It's coming up in July, the 16th through the 19th. My retreats are called Child to Wild, and which is again just about connecting on so many levels. And then I'm across the board. I teach fitness, all strength and cardio. And a goal of mine is to get people moving so that they fall in love with how to move, not just with the clipboard and, you know, doing. I'm not a typical trainer. I'm very different and innovative. And so I've got outdoor classes in our area.
I love it.
Yeah. And so I'm working people to just hit their goals, whether they're working physically or not. I try to always have that be a part of it because fitness and health in that way is so important. He said 39, but I'm 65. And I'm insulin dependent diabetic, which came from the trauma. So yeah, I'm out there. It's easy to find me.
I love it. Now, James, where can people find you? Tell us a little about you and your business.
So you can find me at jamesbhayden, HAYDEN.com. I fix broken revenue or broken sales. I work with companies on launching new products, on finding new markets. If their sales team's not performing the way they'd like it to, I've worked with over 140 companies. I've been retained by the government of New Zealand to work with New Zealand-based companies as they're expanding globally. I've worked with Microsoft, Oracle, a company that's now part of Amadeus, which is a big travel technology company. And I primarily work with startups and emerging companies or companies like at 15 million in revenue, that they move to 50 million to make sure they have the right people in place, the right processes, organizational structure, technology. And I come in generally, and I'm involved in the first sales of the company. I help them build a model where they have repeatable, sustainable revenue.
Now, for all the listeners out there, sometimes the people we're searching for are searching for us too. And if this episode moved you, make sure that you follow, share with someone who needs it.